We've seen so far Paul's rejoicing, how God was at work in the hearts of those at Thessalonica. We've seen Paul's defence of himself, defending himself of some false accusations that were being made about him. We've seen Paul's thanksgiving as well, thanking the Lord that they received the word that was preached as the word of God and not the words of men. And then as we drift into chapter 3, we see Timothy's visit. He talks about that. And as a Bible reading, I'd like to start from chapter 2, verse 17. That's sort of really where the context begins, and we'll read right through the entire chapter of chapter 3. So starting at verse 17 of chapter 2, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labour be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Let's ask for God's blessing to be upon us as we consider this passage. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have revealed your thoughts, your desires, your mind to us through various men of God who have lived upon this earth. And thank you for inspiring them. And that, Lord, we have this preserved word so that we can learn of you. And Lord, I pray that we would put aside the things that may have been happening this week and may even happen today. And Lord, allow your Spirit to minister to us as we consider your word this morning. We ask for your help and your comfort, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, last time, which was a few weeks ago now, we saw how Paul was concerned for the new believers there at Thessalonica. And because he was run out of town and he was unable to return to Thessalonica as he desired because Satan had hindered him, he sent Mr. Reliable to see how they were going. And by Mr. Reliable, I refer to Timothy. You know, there's no doubt, although Paul had many fellow labourers and many people he trusted, he did trust some more than others. And on the top of the list was Timothy, his son in the Lord. In Philippians, when he was writing to them, the church of Philippi, he says this about Timothy: "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all men seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ." You know, Timothy was a special man who Paul trusted in a very special way. Timothy had a natural burden for other believers. He had a desire to see them grow and to help them through their journey in the Christian life. And Paul, I suspect, when he looked at Timothy, he saw himself. And so he knew that if I can't get somewhere and I want to make sure they get the same help and comfort and encouragement as if I was there personally, I'm going to send Timothy because I see myself in him. And so he was a rich blessing to the Apostle Paul. People like Timothy are a rich blessing to anyone who is in a leadership role in a local church, where if you can't be there, you know, it doesn't matter because you can send such and such. They will show the same love and care and concern. And that's what Timothy was for the Apostle Paul. And what we find in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians are two major points, very simple to remember. Paul shares with those at Thessalonica why he sent Timothy. And then he shares with those at Thessalonica his response once Timothy came back. So that's pretty simple to understand. Why he sent them, why he sent Timothy, and how he responded once Timothy got back. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. It's good to keep in mind when Paul sent Timothy, and when you realize when he sent them, you realize that this was just a very young church. In the book of Acts, we read that he went to Thessalonica, preached the gospel, many got saved. He was there quite possibly for about 3 months. Then he was chased out of town. He went to Berea, and there he preached, and there he was chased out of town. And then he went down to Athens and preached the gospel. And it was there at Athens, so maybe 6 months later, he is concerned for those young believers back at Thessalonica. He knew they were under great affliction. And so what does he decide to do? He decides to send Timothy. You go back and see how they're going, because I'm very concerned. And that's what we read in verses 1 and 2. He says in verse 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear," I couldn't stand not knowing what's happening. He says, "we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith." And so he says, "I sent Timothy back." And why did he send Timothy back? Well, we see two of the reasons here in verse 2. First reason was to establish them concerning their faith. Let's remember, Paul didn't preach and stay there as long as he felt he needed to until they were firmly established in the faith. And then when he thought it was time to move on, he could go off to another place. No, he was ran out of town. And so Paul felt like there was still some work to be done in grounding them in the things of God. The word established there means to set fast in a certain position, to be immovable. And Timothy had to go back and get them to that place, because Paul didn't feel as though they were quite there yet. So Timothy had to go back, and one of his jobs was to teach them. He would have had to show them from the Old Testament how Christ was truly the Messiah and so on, so they were truly grounded in their faith. That was the first reason why Paul sent them back, him back. Second reason was to comfort them concerning their faith. And so not only to establish them, but also to comfort them. That is, to encourage them, get beside them, and tell them to stick with their faith in the Lord. Don't let these trials get you down or make you want to give up. And so Timothy not only went there and did some solid teaching to ground them in the faith, he had to do some preaching, some exhortation, some by the side, coming alongside and comforting them as well to stick with it. And so we see two very important necessities when someone is new in the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse alone. When someone trusts Christ as their Savior and they are new in the Lord, well, firstly, what they need to do is be established in their faith. There needs to be that teaching from the Word of God of the doctrines, of the Trinity, of the deity of Christ, of the Scriptures, the necessity of the cross, the need for repentance, all those solid doctrines. There is a need to establish someone in the faith. And then there's also a need to comfort them along the way. You know, it's hard enough being a Christian at the best of times. When you're young in the Lord, it can be very hard. And so there is that need to encourage and comfort. I praise the Lord for those when I was a young man who were older in the Lord that came by and gave me words of encouragement every now and then, just to keep me going and to help me to run the race that was set before me. And that's why Paul sent Timothy. But in verse 3, we see another reason why Paul sent Timothy, and this follows on from the 2, and that is to help them through the tribulations. We see this in verses 3 to 5. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were there, or with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labour be in vain. So why did Paul send Timothy? Why did he send him there to establish them and to encourage them in their faith? Well, the reason was so that they wouldn't be moved by the tribulations that they were going through. Paul knew that they were being persecuted. He was there during it, and he knew it continued on. And he knew very well that one way to shake young believers in the Lord and get them to flee and forsake the Lord is to send tribulation. He knew how Satan worked. And so, he wanted Timothy to help them during these afflictions. And that's another good thing for us to keep in mind for those who are young in the Lord. Satan hasn't changed his ways. And when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, when someone is young in the Lord, you can almost promise them some sort of trial is going to come into their life. Satan is going to use every dirty trick to try and discourage them from continuing to follow the Lord. He may use sickness so they can't get to church like they would want to, so they can't grow. He may use financial problems come into their life. They feel they have to work extra. They have to do overtime. They're too busy to come to church and be established in the faith. He may use some domestic problems, troubles with your parents, troubles with your spouse, troubles with your children, some problem so that you lose sight of growing in the Lord. Or some silly other little thing that would never have been a problem, but now it becomes a problem. Satan does this thing with young believers. And Paul knew this was the case as well. He knew Satan would be attacking these newborn believers. So what did he do? He sent Timothy to establish them and to comfort them. And I think that's very important. You know, Paul didn't say, well, they're saved. They have the Holy Spirit dwelling within to provide everything they need. God is sovereign, and so God will look after them. And so I don't need to worry. Now, Paul understood that God has chosen us to do a certain amount of work. Now, where the balance is between God doing his part and us doing our part, I don't know where it begins and ends. But Paul understood his responsibility as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever was possible to help those in the Lord. And I do think that too often people use the sovereignty of God as a cop-out, where they use the sovereignty of God not to do things when the reality is they're just too lazy to do it, or not to do things because really they're too scared to do it. But I don't think anyone would have known how powerful God was than the Apostle Paul. Yet he still understood that God had a responsibility for him to do certain things in the work of serving the Lord. And so he did whatever it was possible within his means. And so he sent Timothy. He just said, oh, God will work it out. That's a very scary place to be. Wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven and discover that there are so many people that didn't go on for the Lord because you were too lazy or too scared to do what you should have done? You know, God has chosen us to share the gospel. That's an expectation of God upon us. God has chosen us to disciple people. That's an expectation He has upon us as well. He has many expectations. And so, I don't think Paul doubted God's power for a moment, but he also understood God's expectations upon him. And so he sent Timothy. He didn't want all his work, all the laboring, to be in vain. He didn't want Satan to be able to come along and snatch those young in the Lord like a lion does a young lamb. And so why did he send Timothy? For those three main purposes: to establish them in the faith, to comfort them, in order that the persecution would not destroy them. And so, once we get to verse 5, the whole chapter changes direction. Verses 1 to 5 is Paul telling them why he sent Timothy. But Timothy has gone, spent who knows how long, maybe 6 months or so there, and now has returned as well, and he's now writing to them as well, not for the reason why he sent them, but what happened once he got the report from Timothy. And we see that in verses 6 to 13. Have a look at verse 6. It says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you," and so on. And so this is the report that Timothy brought back. It's the type of report that Paul was hoping to hear. You know, when you this week, for those who go to Olivet, you got parent-teacher interviews. There's a certain report you want to hear about your children, isn't it? And you sit there and you're hoping you hear a good report. And it's not so good when you hear a bad report. But you have that expectation of hearing a good report. And when you hear a good report about your child, oh, that's nice to hear. And you go home encouraged. Or they give you the sandwich. They tell you something good, then they tell you what they really want to tell you, and then they tell you something good again. So you don't go home. Is that how it works, Steve? I know that's how it works. So you listen to the one in the middle. That's really what they want to tell you. I'll give you the tip. But there was nothing in the middle. There was just good stuff here with the Apostle Paul. And there were four things that stood out that Timothy brought back. First of all, he rejoiced, he says, and brought us good tidings of your faith. He brought great news. They have faith in the Lord still. Timothy didn't get back there and find the church is gone and everyone's gone back to their old ways. They've forsaken the Lord. No, they were there banded together, trusting Christ. Through these trials, they had faith. And no doubt, as Timothy was there, that faith grew in the Lord as well. That's good news. But it wasn't just that. He says, brought good tidings of your faith and charity as well. There was love there. Paul doesn't single out what or who they were loving, but we can find from the rest of the epistle that they had a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was being seen very evidently by their love for one another. There was love everywhere there at that church. Timothy didn't get back and there was a bunch of bitter, angry people turning on one another, blaming one another, angry with one another, everyone bickering with one another. No, there was love there. They had banded together and they were helping each other through their trials. Not only that, Paul, Timothy says, I heard also that ye have good remembrance of us always. You know, for someone who had been falsely accused of just about every bad thing you can be falsely accused of, knowing that that's what people were saying about him there at Thessalonica, to get the news from Timothy, hey, they had a good remembrance of you and others, Paul, what a blessing. The fear would have been, the news came back from Timothy, hey, they're not very happy with you, Paul. They've heard some terrible things and they're not thinking very well of you at the moment. Now that breaks anyone's heart, any minister of the Lord's heart. But the good news was they had a good remembrance. So much so that it also says, desiring greatly to see us. They wanted to see the Apostle Paul, just as Paul wanted to see them. And so Paul would have been over the moon to hear a report like this. To hear that Satan's attacks were actually having a good effect on them. There's no doubt that Satan wanted, through these trials, to crush these young believers in the Lord and scare them off in their faith or to turn on one another to the point where they disintegrate. There's no doubt it could have happened as well. You know, they could have reacted one of two ways in this. They could have reacted like that and turned on one another and it all fall apart. Or they could have grown in the Lord. And Paul rejoiced that this was the case. He heard a report that they were growing as believers, even under this fierce attack of Satan. And you know, brethren, here is the key message for us from this chapter. You want to wonder what I want you to take away? This is it. You know, when trials come and we're faced with problems, no matter where it's from, if it's problems within our marriage, our family, our church, our work, our health, whatever it may be, it can have one of two effects. Our faith can waver and we start to doubt God. Our love can diminish and we don't love God, we don't love God's people. We actually turn bitter and angry towards one another to the point where we don't want to associate with believers. We just want to stay away from everybody. And Satan gets the victory, or the opposite will happen. And he will lose and we will grow in our strength and grow in the Lord. We will trust the Lord and seek him through these times. We will grow in our love for our Savior, our love for the brethren. We'll even pray for those that we may feel are attacking us as well. And this is what the Lord is hoping for. Why does he allow trials to come? For this very purpose, that we may grow in our love and our trust of him and the brethren. You know, no one ever becomes a strong Christian, strong in their faith, strong in their love, by having a trouble-free life. A trouble-free life only produces soft, weak, untried believers who become very weak in their faith. It's like the weightlifter who wants to go to the Olympics, but I don't want to actually lift weights. because that's too hard and they're too heavy. I just want to get the gold medal, all right, without actually lifting anything. I'll just go there and see how I go. No, you lose. You have to exercise yourself and lift harder and heavier so you can grow stronger. And God's word makes it very clear that's how it happens. Trials, burdens make us grow. We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And it only comes when they are trials. None of us will grow in our faith any other way. And the question is, if you feel like you're going through some troubles at the moment, you know if you are, you may have been through it, you may be about to go through it, or you may think you're going through some troubles at the moment. Maybe health, marriage, family, work, church, whatever it is. If you think you're going through trials at the moment, question is, what effect are those troubles having on you? That's what you have to ask. Is the effect that it's having on you is you just want to run away from it? I just want to run away from my church, run away from my family, run away from my work. I don't want to have to bear this burden. I want to run away. I don't want to have to exercise myself unto godliness and grow in strength. Are you turning angry and bitter towards others and maybe even the Lord? Would you say that you're actually growing or you're actually going backwards through these trials? Or is the reverse happening? These troubles have made you run to the Lord and you're seeking Him like you haven't sought Him for a very long time, and you have found comfort under His wings, so to speak, and you've enjoyed His comfort and protection, and your love for Him has grown, and you've been able to see Christ developed in you, and you could see it with your love and compassion for others. Have you actually grown in the Lord and grown to love the brethren who come and comfort you here? Has the burden made you weaker or stronger? Who would you say is winning? Satan or the Lord during your times of trouble? I trust if you're going through some troubles at the moment, it's all backfired on Satan, because these troubles have actually made you grow as God intended them to do. And you, if it hasn't, dismiss the bitter thoughts and the angry thoughts, the thoughts of running away and all those things, and say, Lord, I'm here, you've allowed this, and I'm going to trust you through it so I may grow. You know, the trials that were Thessalonians were going through, they were far greater than what we go through. Yet this was the result of their trials, and that's the report that Paul got. No wonder he rejoiced. Because this is the reaction, this is the effect that it had in verse 7 on him. Therefore, brethren, we, that's Paul and the others back at Corinth, were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. How? By your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. You know, funny, isn't it? Paul sent Timothy to comfort them. Yet Timothy comes back and their faith comforts him. He would have been going through troubles there at Corinth. Same sort of troubles, struggles in various ways. But what effect did their faith have on him? It encouraged him to keep going. You know, that's one of the things when you actually put yourself out and help others. When you see them grow, when you see fruit, it actually encourages you as well. If you find that you aren't very encouraged, it quite could be because you've insulated you so much that you only think about yourself and you find no encouragement from anyone, because you're not actually putting yourself out there to help others. But boy, Paul rejoiced. And we see who he wanted to thank for it. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul gave thanks to God for what God was doing. Isn't that interesting? He understood his responsibility to do whatever he can do to help them. He didn't say, God's sovereign, he'll just work it all out, I don't need to worry. No, I must do what I can. And he did it. Timothy went, comforted them, encouraged them, comes back, and what does he do? Does he say, thank me for sending Timothy, or I'm so thankful for Timothy and all he did? No, he says, I thank God. He understood God was still in control of it all. That's the right balance. And he gave thanks to God. I wonder if someone brought back a report from you after spending some time with your trials and seeing how you are going with it, how you are responding. Would a good report be brought back? Hey, they're growing in their faith and their love for Christ and others. They are established and strong. Or would they have to bring back a sad report? Well, it's the same God helping us as it was helping those at Thessalonica. Same Holy Spirit dwelling within. Same Word of God to find encouragement. Difference is how you respond to it. I trust there will be a good report card if people speak of you through your trials. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, sometimes that means more to us than other times, even though it shouldn't. But thank you that you are there through the good times and the sad and the hard. And I pray that we would grow and not run or forsake you when you being so faithful to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.